What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to Marshall Time, episode 51. I looked at it. November 5th was our last episode, so it's been a while. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving, enjoying this holiday season, Christmas coming up, New Year's, obviously. What's going on, bro?
What's going on, bro? One of my favorite times of the year outside of the cold weather. A lot of that, which in the holiday season, always nice, so.
December's here, which means for sports fans, NFL season's coming to a close for some teams, and we'll have a lot of time to talk about that. Can't speak on a lot of you NFL fans out there because it's different levels, right? So we'll talk about the levels in the league right now that we're seeing, but just know it's a good time to be an Eagles fan, and we'll talk more. Also, it's December, so when it comes to the NBA, I think we have an idea of like who's who, and the Christmas Day slate. That's usually like the marker point where we're like, okay, by Christmas, we can see where these teams are. Have they met expectations or are they going to be disappointments? Pretty much, I think through December, you can really tell the direction where a team's going to go. So with that being said, we got a few teams that we're going to bring up. Starting with the Western Conference. We got to talk about the Lakers. Just to get that out the way. I'll look at the current standings in the Western Conference right now. They're in eighth, which is a play-in spot. They're 12-9. And they've lost 5 of the last 7 games. I don't know if you've noticed this. LeBron James is looking his age. He'll be 40 at the end of the month. I believe December 31st, somewhere around there. He's going through a slump right now, and players go through slumps, but for a guy like LeBron James, who's approaching 40 years old, you can't help but think Father Time is calling. It happens to everybody, especially when it comes to playing a sport at the highest level. Your body is just not going to respond. It's not going to react the same way. It happens, and some people may be afraid to say it, but he's human. He's not a robot. As much as he invests in his body and takes care of his body, does a great job, he's still in immaculate shape. But to do what you're required to do on a nightly basis, and what the Lakers are calling you to do, he just can't hold up. And that's the issue that I have with the Lakers. You have a new coach in J.J. Redick. But the funny thing is, I don't hear the criticism that I heard from about Darvin Ham last year, right? So what is it? Is it a coaching issue or is it a roster issue? The reality is, it's always been a roster issue. I'm not saying Darvin Ham was some genius coach, but when you're relying on an older LeBron James to be your best player, because Anthony Davis, look, people routinely get fooled by his big performances. He's a great player, and we're not taking anything away from that, but you can sort of project and see how the cycle is with the Lakers and Anthony Davis. They'll go on a streak of strong performances. AD will show his great skills on both ends of the floor, but in crucial moments when it comes down to it, when LeBron needs you to be the number one guy, you're not it. Let's look at the stats from their loss against the Timberwolves on Monday. Want how many points AD had?
How many?
He had 12. Guess how many points Rudy Gobert had, the offensive force he is. Probably he had 17. I thought you were the defensive player of the year, you know, or potential. Rudy Gobert should not be having 17 points. If you're a self-proclaimed and widely acclaimed defensive, you know, beast, Rudy Gobert should not be having 17 points, respectfully. And also on the flip side, you got to give me more than 12 points. You just have to. And so with Anthony Davis, I learned this a while ago. I will not be fooled by your regular season spurts here and there, because I know when it comes down to it, you won't be the big guy that's needed for the Lakers. And that's why the Lakers are struggling the way they are, because you're relying on an almost 40-year-old LeBron to be the best player, because you're younger. The younger star player isn't living up to being a franchise player. And that's the bottom line. Let's not get talent confused with being that guy for a championship team. It's two different things. AD can be a number one guy. There's a lot of number one guys who can be lead a team in scoring and whatever. But when it comes down to it, can you be that top guy when it's needed most? And that's the main issue with the Lakers. Outside of LeBron, outside of AD, who else can you rely on to give you a 20-point game here and there? Austin Reeves is not the guy they thought he was. I'm sorry. There's no big three in LA. It's just not. Gabe Vincent is a Miami Heat merchant. Let's just call it what it is. Like, he had the Miami Heat. Look, in his role in Miami, they just do great things with certain players. He's not in Miami anymore. Rui Hachimura, he is what he is. I love Dalton Connect, but he's a rookie. Yeah, just the Lakers hype that I was hearing. I'm not tripping, right? There was like some Lakers hype, right? Like
a couple weeks ago. It was definitely optimism.
I'm like, why?
It's always like that.
Yeah.
It's like that every year. I've heard the Lakers for the past few seasons. I've heard, oh, the Lakers, you know, they don't. Nobody wants to play them in the playoffs. Nobody wants to do this, that, and the third. Nobody wants to see LeBron and AD. It's in the bubble no more, man. The truth is, the reality is this. For one, I think J.J. Redick is a good coach from what I've seen so far. Like, I think he's a good basketball mind, right? He knows the game. He knows how to draw up certain plays to get certain players good shots, good looks. But the reality is this. Darvin Ham, say what you want about him. I'm not here to say he was a good coach, bad coach, whatever. I'm just going to tell you that it's a roster problem, flat out. It's a roster problem. And it comes down to two things. The first thing is it's not enough shooting on the team, right? We can talk about coaching. We can talk about health. Bottom line is they have a lot of names on the roster, but these guys, they're not consistent or they just can't shoot. We talk about, like, I'm not even going to talk about Brown. We know what's up with Brown. Like, he's getting older. He's still going to give you great games. He's going to have some bad games. It's the same thing when Jordan got old. Same thing when Kobe got old. Same thing when all these players get old, right? It's nothing new. AD, he been told is what it was. After he won that ring, he said he felt like he had nothing to prove. And we seen him kind of plateau, right? He'll still give us the performances from time to time when he's feeling it. But he's not the same AD we knew coming out of Kentucky and in New Orleans, where he was killing every night. He's not that. Not that he can't be that. It's just he's chosen not to be. And that's on him. Now, let's look at everybody else. Austin Reeves, right? Good player, but he can be inconsistent at times. You don't know if you're going to get that 18 to 20 points from him every night. You don't know what type of performance you're going to get. D'Angelo Russell, he's been – they've been talking about trading him for the past year and a half, man.
They don't want him there.
We know what he does. When trade deadline comes, he'll start playing good. And the Lakers are like, oh, you know what? Maybe we'll keep him. Then when the playoff comes, he's going 0 for 7 from 3, right? Gabe Vincent, we talked about that. Another Miami Heat merchant, like you said. These guys come from Miami, come to a different team, and they're just not the same player. We've seen it all throughout the league. And then you look at everybody else. Like, they got two guys, right, that they signed that haven't played, Christian Wood, Jared Vanderbilt. You got Max Christie, somebody that they drafted. He hasn't done anything. He's finally getting some playing time. But you look at Rui Hachimura, I mean, like, another inconsistent player, right? We know what he's, like, capable of on some nights, but what are you really expecting from him on a nightly basis? You look at the other teams just in their conference, right? They have players that every night you know what you can expect from them. And like I said, it's a shooting problem. The NBA has become, you know, a glorified three-point contest in a pickup game, actually, and we'll talk about that later. But if you can't make threes, you can't hit threes, and you're not defending a three at a good rate, you're bound to lose more games than you're going to win, or you're barely going to sneak in. You know what I mean? And it's funny, I saw a stat earlier. They started the season 12-9 last year with Darvin Ham. They're 12-9 right now with J.J. Redick. Now, it's a small sample size, I know. And if you ask me, I think they'll end up with a slightly better record than they did with Darvin Ham. But they're still not going to win anything. So that's my outlook on them.
I mean, we think they might end up with a slightly better record. That's, I mean,
right. What if
LeBron starts sitting out games?
Right.
Right? Just for load management. He's at that point in his career where you got to have those conversations, right? And the reality is this is what this franchise gets. This was the trade-off. You bring LeBron in. You got your championship. What was that, 2020?
Mm-hmm.
You got it. Congratulations. But I don't think, in my mind, once they won that championship, I never thought that they would get back to that point, right? Because when has the Lakers organization been committed to actually building the right way through the draft, developing talent? They've always been big names, big names, big names. And so you're in a position where you have a LeBron James, you have an Anthony Davis. But outside of that, what trust should we put into this front office to making the right decisions and the right roster moves, right? Like, they just – it is what it is. And now you're in a position where, okay, once LeBron leaves, you're stuck with Anthony Davis as your number one guy, and then what? So they're in a very dangerous situation, a very dangerous point when it comes to, okay, figuring out how to take advantage of this LeBron James era, but you got to figure out the next few years as well. So I don't know. They're still the Lakers, and so they're always going to be involved in these big names, but it means nothing unless you get these names, right? They're always in the talks of Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan. Well, where are those players at? DeRozan went to the Kings in Sacramento, right? So what are we talking about? You got to show me. And that's just where I'm at with the Lakers. At this point, you might as well start playing Bronny.
That's what they want. That's what Bron wants anyway, right?
I mean, if it gets to the point where, look, we're at the playoff. Look, there's going to be a time next year where the play-in is most likely for this team, I feel like. I'm just going to say it. If I had to project it, I think they're a play-in team. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Play Bronny. Get some excitement. Add to the documentary. That's definitely being made right now. You know, it's a business, right? The Lakers are all about the dominating the headlines, and so why not do it? So we tossed the Lakers to the side. And now let's talk about the Pelicans. Currently the worst team in the Western Conference at 4-18. It's time to trade Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram. It's time. And some of us have long felt this way about this duo. The Pelicans' issue is this. You have two talented players who just aren't built to be the guy that leads you to the championship level. If that's your goal, neither one of these guys are going to do it for you. As secondary pieces, I think so, yes. But if that's your goal to be a championship-level team, I don't think those guys have the mindset or the skill set, to be honest with you. You want to really take it there to raise the level of their teammates. Individually, they're great, but can you raise the level of others on the floor? And I don't think they can do that. They haven't shown that. Now let's get to Zion. What more do you need from the Pelicans? What more do you need? If you're the Pelicans front office, what more do you need to see to say it's just not going to work? Once again, he's hurt. There's a report that said he's not close to returning. He has a hamstring injury. It is what it is. Zion is always going to be hurt, unfortunately. There's always going to be issues with being out of shape. Is he taking it seriously? Is he taking his craft seriously? Is he taking care of his body? That was a concern even before he got drafted, right? Coming out of Duke, that was an issue. Like, is he going to be able to focus in on take care of his body and take care of his diet? There's another player that we'll talk about that's will always be an issue with him as well. But for Zion, and I keep seeing excuses for him. DeMarcus Cousins mentioned how, you know, he ended up in the wrong city in New Orleans. And, you know, I'm like, I don't care what city you're in. You are who you are. If Zion goes to New York, they have top flight restaurants in New York. If he goes to LA, they have top flight restaurants. There's food everywhere.
It's America.
There's a McDonald's in every city. There's a Burger King. There's a Chick-fil-A. Whatever you want, they got them. There's distractions in every city. He's in New Orleans. It's not a major, like, it's not in New York. It's not in LA. So imagine Zion with the distractions of a big city, plus the access to the restaurants, right? There's already questions about his dedication. So I don't want to hear that excuse. You're a professional athlete making multi-millions of dollars, generational wealth. If you can't lock in for at least a decade to be the best that you can be, I can't make excuses for it. I don't care. That's on you've been given a gift that most people would do a lot of things for. And you're just throwing it away. Jrue Holiday mentioned he needs a change of scenery. Let me pull up the quote. Yeah, he needs a change in some kind of way. Well, the change is you, Zion. The change is your mentality and how your appreciation of what you've been given. And so the excuses that I'm hearing about, oh, he's in, you know, New Orleans drafted him, it was a wrong situation. No, because these teams, quiet as kept, they provide these players with the resources, with the dietitians, with the trainers. They'll stock your fridge with fruits and vegetables and the things you need to be at your best. They do these things. It's documented, right? Whether you choose to take advantage of it is up to you. And so if I'm the Pelicans, I'm trading Zion immediately. I don't even care what I get back. He just has to go. Because at the least, I know we tried our best. At least let us get some young pieces back. Maybe a draft pick. It's better than just, he's not playing anyway. He's never going to be fully healthy in a year. So why are we holding on to him? And another thing, and I'll let you have it. I don't think his game has evolved. What does he do that's elite? Ball handling. What are the skills in basketball? Shooting, ball handling, passing, defending. His elite. He's elite at jumping and being an athlete. But as you get older, especially with that body, you're going to hit a wall quick. You're 6'6", pushing 300. If you were Shaq, that's different. Shaq is 7 foot. It's different. And you're so reliant upon your athleticism, it doesn't stay there forever, especially if you're not taking care of your body. So no more excuses for Zion. He has to go.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, it's like we're being a dead horse at this point. And honestly, I just don't – I don't see where we go from here. Because the way I look at it, if he loses weight, he's taken away from his game. Like, he's a bruiser. You know, he wants to get down. He wants to, you know, use his quick first step, put his shoulder in your chest, bully you, and rise up. That's his game. And, you know, it's effective when he can play, but when he's not playing because of the fact he's overweight. Now, I'm sure there's a way for him to lose some weight without losing, you know, a lot of his muscle. But now we have to ask ourselves, how many injuries is it going to be? Like, how deep is he down? Like, you know what I mean? Like, because at a certain point, these injuries add up. What is his current injury right now? Because I'm just so, like, done with it. You on mute.
It's a hamstring.
Hamstrings, knees, back, all that type of stuff. Those things add up. Ankle. And as anybody knows, like, once you hurt one part of your body, you start overcompensating in other areas, and it only gets worse. So I don't really see – I just don't see where we go from here with Zion. Like, obviously, you know, he's not going to retire right now. He's only 24. And I'm not saying he should, but I just don't see where we go. Like, if he stopped this problem 2 seasons ago, then, yeah, like, all right, you know, he probably would be playing right now. And the thing is, it sucks for the Pelicans because every year they put together talented rosters. Not saying that they're going to be championship rosters, but they're good enough to make the playoffs. Instead, I'm settling to watch them play in the play-in. And it's like, you guys could be way better than this if he was playing. So, from a front office standpoint, it's time to cut ties. From his standpoint, I don't know where it goes from here. Like, we say he needs to lose weight, but we've been saying that. So, it's either he's going to do it or is he not. He has to develop his game. But as we know, that's just like a lot of players – I feel like players, when they come in with a lot of hype, they forget the development part of their game. I guess they think, oh, you know what, I can just show up day one and I'll be killing it. And he was a good player. Like, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, he put up his numbers. He produced. He had some great games. But for the long haul, it's like, am I really building my team around you? We see more development in the guys that were slept on. You know what I mean? I mean, I guess it's just because they're hungrier. You know, they have something to prove. You know, that's another topic, but I don't know. I just don't know where we go from here.
Yeah, well, Zion's never had to develop his game, right? Because you look back at his high school clips. He's jumping, dunking. Like, these kids that he was competing against in high school that were seeing these highlights, they were no match for him, right? You get to Duke, and you're still, you know, you're young, you're a freshman, but you're still bigger and stronger and quicker and can jump higher than everybody else. But at a certain point, it's going to kick. You can't this is the highest level of the game. These guys are taller. You know, like, these are 7 foot dudes, 6'11", 6'10", that can jump just as high, that are skilled, and there are defensive schemes that are designed to slow you down, right? And so Zion's at a point where, number one, he has to lock in and focus in on being the best that he can physically and taking care of his body. Number two, who are you as a basketball player? Nobody knows. Take away the athleticism. Who are you as a basketball? What is it that Zion, is there a move, is there a go-to move that he has that he can go to that just, you just, oh, reliable. Where is it? There's nothing there. You know what I mean? And you're 6'6". Today's game, 6'6" guys are point guards shooting. It's just different, right? And so those are the two things that I have an issue with. And I can't, as a front office, I wouldn't be comfortable with Zion having the keys to the franchise. I just wouldn't be comfortable.
You know, one thing I always think about, I think about this every time I talk about Zion, I think about Zion, is when Duke played Taco Fall in the March Madness and they almost lost. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you know, I'm like, all right, you know, maybe, you know, just, you know, bad matchup, bad game. Like, Taco Fall is 7'6" in the day, so it's going to, you know, it's going to protect the rim. But looking back on it now, that was very telling of how it will be for him in the A, because it's like, bro, Taco Fall is not even an NBA player. Like, he's just tall. Mm-hmm. And you were struggling to beat him. And now you get to the NBA, and it's like, bro, your game hasn't changed, and you're struggling right now, you know, because of injury, because your game hasn't developed, whatever it is. Yeah. So it's just crazy.
Yeah, and so we go from one franchise player whose body is continues to just not working, to another on the Eastern Conference, and this is one that's very familiar, and this one's a tough one, right? This is Joel Embiid and the 76ers. How do I want to start this one off? So I feel like we've both been on the same page when it comes to Joel Embiid, and we kind of felt where things were headed. And this isn't like I told you so thing, because I don't want to be right when it comes to this. Like, I want Embiid to be healthy. I want him to be playing at his best. I want the Sixers to, you know, be at full strength. But I have to say, and I've been tiptoeing on this for a while now, but I have to say, I think the Sixers aren't winning a championship with Joel Embiid as the number one player. I'm not dancing around it anymore. And there are a few reasons that I say that. Number one, the most simple argument is your best player has to be able to play back-to-back games. Like, what are we talking about here? He has to be available, right? Number one. Number two, his knee is cooked. Can we just say it? Like, I'm tired of the dancing from this team. Well, it's swelling, but we have it managed. But yet, when is the last time that he played a game? He's sitting out once again at this recording. It's Tuesday against the Hornets. He's not playing against the Hornets on Tuesday night. We don't know when he's going to play next. And I said it before, I'm just going to assume he's not playing unless they tell me otherwise. And so I just hate the false hope that this franchise continues to give fans, when in reality, we know what the truth is. So let's look at the standings, right? This is the argument that everybody's, well, they're 4-14. The 10th seed, Detroit, has 9 wins. The problem with that thinking is you're assuming that this team can actually string together back-to-back wins when we haven't seen that yet. I have no faith in this. Faith is believing in things that you haven't seen yet. I have no faith in the Sixers. Sorry. I just don't. And they haven't earned the benefit of the doubt. They haven't made it past the second round in how many years? Brett Brown is gone. Benjamin Simmons is gone. Tobias Harris is gone. Glenn Doc Rivers is gone. Sam Hinkie is gone. Nerlens Noel is gone. Hollis Thompson is gone. Henry Sims is gone. Who else? I keep going. Tony Roten is gone. Markel Fultz. I can go down the list of the process era. Furkan Korkmaz is gone. Do we got Jahlil Okafor is gone. Actually, I'd probably rather have Okafor at this point. He's tearing it up in the G League, apparently. So I'm over just this false hope that the Sixers, and I'm hearing from certain fans, like, I just can't do it anymore. This team has 4 wins. You're worse than the Washington. You're barely above the Washington Wizards in the win count. They're trying to lose. You're 4-14 at the time of this recording. Your best player can't play back-to-backs. The team has no idea what's going on with his knee. If they do, they're not sharing the information. The reality is he probably should sit out the rest of the year. Remember that off-the-glass dunk against the Knicks? That might have been it.
I remember I saw a tweet. They were like, I watched the B sacrifice his career in real time.
I remember that play. I was like, that didn't look good.
It didn't.
So you play in the Olympics. You win the gold medal. Congratulations. You sit out all preseason. You sit out the start of the season. So what happened in between the Olympics of you playing to now? What happened? There's some confusion there. I need some clarity. And so we could talk about the roster. The roster is what it is. You're having 50-year-old Kyle Lowry, Eric Gordon, and Reggie Jackson playing major minutes. That shouldn't happen, right? Paul George, he's dealing with his own knee physical issues, right? He's only getting older. That contract's going to look nasty in a couple years. It's over with. Okay, let's say you make the play-in. Then what? You play Boston in the first round? Like, we have a good history against that franchise. So what is is the goal the championship or not? If you're not winning a championship, then you're wasting your time. That's all I got.
Yeah. I mean, me personally, like I said, I had no expectations for this team when we signed. Like, when we signed PG, it was cool. Obviously, we expected to be better than this, but I didn't expect us to, you know, really win a chip or nothing. But this is just sad. Like, this is sad for the fan base, for the people like our boy Dan, right, that have hope for the Sixers, the people that, you know, are season ticket holders, the people that go to games often, people that watch every night, tune in every night, buying jerseys, buying merch. It's sad for them because, realistically, you know, we have, like, hope. Like, it's not like, you know, when you got a player like Embiid with the pieces that we've put around him, it's kind of like, all right, maybe. Me personally, I don't think it's going to happen, but you know. But now it's just like, bro, with the knee injury. And the thing about Embiid is he came into the career with knee and back and all types of issues, right? He's only getting older. He keeps re-injuring the same stuff, re-aggravating the same stuff. He's trying to play. When he does play, looks bad out there. I mean, reality is it's probably time to move on from him. But the other part of that is, what are we even going to get for him as of right now? Like, a team would need to see him play good for a stretch of time to even want to trade for him. But then, at that point, we probably wouldn't even want to trade him. So, and I don't, like, at this point, I don't even know what to say about who to blame. We hear things about Embiid and his diet, but then we hear things about how he's trying to do better with his diet. It's either here nor there, because at the end of the day, he's always been injury prone. It's going to become more evident as he gets older, like we're seeing right now. And we can try to put all these pieces around him to make the team better. Like, Jared McCain is rookie of the year right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we hit on a mid-round draft pick. We hit on a draft pick a few years back with Maxey. They went and got Paul George. You know what I mean? They got Nick Nurse, a coach that everybody, you know, is highly touted. So it's not like we didn't do, you know, like Murray, it's not like he didn't do the right things to try to put a contender together. It's just not working our way. And, you know, it's nobody's fault to blame but ours, because at the end of the day, I think it's a culture change with the Sixers too. It's kind of like, it starts up top, if you ask me. It starts with ownership. You know what I mean? Because it's been the same story for years with the Sixers. You know what I mean? Like you said, we ran through all these players that you named. We didn't even name a guy like Jimmy Butler, right? A dog. Like, you let him go out the door, right? I mean, because, you know, rumors are, oh, they wanted to pay Tobias more, or he didn't get along with Ben Simmons and Brett Brown. You know what I mean? It's little decisions like that, and it adds up over time. And, you know, one thing I will say about Embiid is he's not really a leader. I can say that. You can see that by how he carries himself on the court, how he acts to foul calls, how he just acts. I'm not going to say, you know, he's a bad teammate, but from a leader standpoint, from a champion standpoint, there's so many other players that carry themselves better on the court than he does. And, you know, Embiid, like, he's a guy I want to root for, you know, from, you know, he picked up the game late. He lost his brother. You know, we want to root for him, but he makes it hard to sometimes. It's the truth. So, yeah, I don't know. It's looking dark.
Yeah, I mean, this is strictly basketball conversation, right? Like, at a certain point, you just got to be honest. I don't care how great of a talent you are, but if I see signs that it's just not going to work out here, you got to call it what it is. Nothing personal. But like you mentioned, like, there's a lot to be said from your on-court energy as the best player. And so, I would text you during games, like, he's crying for these fouls and not getting back on defense. You're foul baiting. Stop it. Just stop. You're a 7-footer. No. You're recklessly going after blocks and things and falling to the ground, not taking care of your body. Just poor body language. And that energy transfers over to your teammates, especially younger teammates. And so we didn't even mention the team meeting that they needed in November. Anytime a team needs a meeting that early in the season, let me tell you something. They're not winning a championship. I'm going to just tell you that right there. I don't recall that ever happening. And Tyrese Maxey, one of the youngest players on the team, has to call you out for not being professional. The least you can do is show up on time. And you're the franchise player making how much money? And you can't show up on time? You can't take your job serious, which is to play a sport that people play hundreds and thousands of tickets and jerseys to support you? Hello? You got to go. And I love Joel Embiid's game. I have his jersey in my closet. But I can always be honest about it. One thing about it, those two guys behind me, y'all see? Never question their dedication. You know, the funny thing is they got on AI about the practice thing, right? But do we ever question his dedication to the game and showing up when he's hurt? That's the funny thing. So I can't put Joel in that conversation when it comes to AI and that conversation of all-time greats. He's not on the AI level. He just isn't. It's a different energy. I saw the team that he had in 01 to make the finals. Don't get me started on what he did. What AI did for the city and what Joel says he did for the city, two different things. Does not compare. And so this isn't breaking him down as a person because I don't know him. But as a player, what, he's 30, right? What do we, like, it doesn't get any better for you physically. Your body's breaking down. You're a big guy. You're 7 foot. Like, I just, there's no other way around it. And so the crazy thing about it, the nasty thing about it is the Thunder own our pick coming up. The top six protected. So, okay, you're not going to tank. Let's say you lose in the playoffs again, which it's a good chance it's going to happen. If you even make the playoffs, right? Let's just say they make the playoffs and get bounced early. Then what? You lose the first round pick?
Yep, no Jared McKinnon, same answer.
It's top six protected, so you can finish with the 7th worst record in the league, right? And a strong draft class in the Oklahoma City Thunder, which might make the finals this year, will have another first round pick. You know what trade that was?
What trade was that? Was that the PG? Was that part of it? Like, down the line? Like, I don't know. I don't know how the Thunder got all these picks. I know the PG trade set them up. Harden trade is something.
It was, you're going to laugh at this. This was back in, what's the date on this? Doesn't matter. So we traded the Thunder Al Horford in the 2025 first round pick for Terrence Ferguson and Danny Green. And Vincent Poirier, whoever that is.
Yeah, I remember that name.
So once again, when has this franchise earned the benefit of the doubt that they'll make the right decisions and choices? I'm done with it. Show me. Get the 500. And then matter of fact, win back-to-back games first. And then we'll take it serious. Win back-to-back games, get to 500, have a better record than the Pistons. How about, is that fair? Like is that
Pistons
fair?
Pistons hooping this year. Shout out to Bias.
Have a better record than the Nets. Then we'll talk. Because right now, you got two more wins over the Wizards. So any Sixers conversation, I don't want to hear it. The Eagles are competing for Super Bowl. Like we got better things that we got to focus on when it comes to Philadelphia sports. So it's a wrap. What else we got on? What else we got?
Well, we got to talk about college. I mainly just want to talk about UConn. And had a rough weekend at the, what was it, the Maui Invitational?
Yeah, the Maui Invitational.
Yeah, they had a rough weekend. Hey man, they seen the effects of losing three players to the NBA.
Well, four, right? Because
Castle, Kennigan,
Tristan Newton.
Oh yeah. I forgot about Newton.
Yeah,
and Ken Spencer.
Yep.
So they seen the effects. So
Cam dropped 50 in the G League.
Too. Yeah, I know. They need him bad right now because Dan Hurley was going crazy on the refs. But the college game this year, though, man, like I feel like it's actually some good basketball. Like I'm actually starting to enjoy watching college more than the NBA as of late. Just because the NBA product, man, it's just so boring to watch right now because it's not like for me, basketball is a game of like it's a game of will, but it's also a game of like it's a mental game too. Like you got to know what to do, when to do it, what players should be where on the court, on the floor. And I understand the scope of analytics and all that. I understand it. But it's become too much, man. Like, players are literally just running up and down, shooting threes. And I'm not no, like, I'm 26, bro. I'm not no old head. I'm not no, but I like basketball, like real basketball. These guys are just running up and down, shooting threes. Watch the Lakers and the Suns play the other day. It was a 2-minute period of them just jacking up shots. Bron's bricking, D-Lo's bricking, Reeves. Suns come down, they're bricking. Like, bro, what are we watching? What am I watching? Like, I could go to LA Fitness and see this. I mean, you guys just have names and are more athletic at that point. Like, that's what I'm seeing. Like, so, I don't know, man. I just feel like the NBA, it's not nothing. Like, I don't, what are they going to do? They can't add a 4-point line. That's only going to make it worse. It's not really anything they could do. It's just where we are right now, and I just think it's sad to see. You know, people are talking about views are down. Yeah, I wonder why. Look at what we're watching. Like, it's not as entertaining as it should be or it could be. And another thing, the best players don't guard each other that much at all. So, yeah, that's my 2 cents on it.
Well, the best players don't want to play half the time. They sit out, low management, right?
Yeah, but they tried to fix that. And I feel like players have been playing more. I feel like load management this year hasn't been as much as a problem, even though the season just started. So we'll see how it goes. The season progresses.
Because they got that 65-game threshold if you want to win those awards, right?
So, right.
Yeah. Those then this awards mean tournament my bonus thing, kicks in.
The playing tournament thing, it's to me, it's like, all right, yeah, it's cool. I get what they're trying to do. But then they're saying, oh, how many points you score in the end matters. What about just winning a game? Because that's also putting into the fact that teams are just jacking up threes to try to get, you know, as many points as possible. So, I don't know.
I think there's no originality. Like, I feel like I enjoy how the Thunder play. I enjoy how the Rockets play. I enjoy how the Grizzlies play.
Nuggets.
The Nuggets. There are some teams who have, you know, what their style is and what their identity is. Most of the teams don't have an identity, or their identity is borrowed off of, they're trying to copy the Celtics and how they play, right? The Celtics are jacking up threes, but their roster is built in a way that they can do that, right?
Think about the Celtics too. They play defense on the other end. Like, that's another thing about these teams. They're jacking up threes, they're not getting back.
They're a complete team, right? and their roster is built that way in that they can – they got guys. They got Derek White, Holiday, Tatum, Brown, Porzingis, Horford, Pritchard. Like, they have guys that can all – they're all skilled. But your roster is not built like that. So you should not try to do what they do. Find out the strengths of your players and develop your coaching style to that. You should not try to force your coaching philosophy onto your roster. Let your roster dictate how you coach, because everybody's strength, every team is different, right? And so if you got a bunch of – you got a team full of guys who can't shoot, why are you trying to force this team to shoot? Just to keep up with what you feel like is winning basketball right now. No, winning basketball is doing what your team is able to do best. That's just simple as that. And so I think that's the issue here. Everybody's trying to be what? Golden State and Boston. Like, but you don't have the you don't have the personnel to do that. You just don't. And so that's why I enjoy, like I said, the Thunder, the Rockets, the Nuggets, the Grizzlies.
Even the Magic. The Magic doing their thing right now.
Yeah. And so there is good basketball being played out here, but another thing is these teams aren't developing their talent. You see with the Grizzlies, the Rockets, and the Thunder, they're developing these guys. And these teams, I don't think they're not in the business of developing talent. And what you see is what you get. You know, like, that's just what it is. And that's why I see a team like – there's some teams that just don't take – I can't take the Lakers serious. I just can't do it, because you're not built to really play ball when it matters. The Thunder, the Nuggets, the Grizzlies, Celtics, they can beat you in multiple ways. These other teams, no, you can't. There's only a few contenders in the league this year, because they can beat you in multiple ways and they will defend. That's just the reality of it. My quick college thought, yeah, it's really – I've been enjoying watching some of these this freshmen. I know Cooper Flagg's getting all the attention and Ace Bailey. I really like Dylan Harper. Like, I've really been paying attention to his game a lot. And 6'6 point guard, he's smooth with it. I've seen Jalen Brunson comparisons, like a bigger Jalen Brunson, but I can't help but stop thinking about SGA when I see Dylan Harper. I haven't seen that comparison yet, but I can't help but think about that. Like, a guy who has nice size for the point guard spot, is never in a rush, gets to his spots, smooth playmaker. Like, man, Dylan Harper is really good.
Nah, he's a beast.
When it comes to being the top pick, I don't know. I think Flag has competition, because Ace Bailey is a bucket too. Ace Bailey is a really talented player, but Dylan Harper is good. With Cooper Flag, I love his intangibles defensively. I love just his intensity. I've always enjoyed watching his highlights, high school highlights, and just the energy that he plays. We can tell he loves the game. He has to develop his offensive game a little more. I still think it's raw. He's still I think he graduated maybe.
Yeah, he's young. He's a young player.
He's super young. He's going to be really good. Like, imagine him in Charlotte with the LaMelo,
right,
and Brandon Miller and Cooper Flagg. Like, that would be a crazy trio, because he wouldn't be forced to be an offensive guy right away.
Right.
Defensively, run the floor. LaMelo's going to find you. I think Charlotte would be like a marquee spot for Cooper Flagg. He just has to develop his offensive game more. Maybe that'll come over time this season, but to me, Dylan Harper is the most complete freshman in the country. I love his game. Trey Johnson at Texas. BYU has a point guard too. Igor Demin. Hope I'm saying that last name right. He's really legit. So it's some good guys. When it comes to the team that I'm enjoying right now, like Auburn. I think Auburn's the best team right now. They got one of the most balanced teams in the country right now. Probably the best player right now, as far as just experience, production, and Jani Broome. Kansas is going to be good too. Their roster is pretty stacked, but Auburn, just the way they play, I'm really not super high on Auburn basketball teams, but this year, there's something different offensively. I like them better. You know, I enjoy what they're doing. I saw what they did against Maui. And look at who they've beaten so far. They've beaten Houston, Iowa State, North Carolina, and again, Memphis team. They play Duke at Duke. tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm about to say, it's a lot of good games tomorrow. I think Baylor plays UConn. It's a lot of games tomorrow.
We've been getting treated some, I think, I don't know, it seems like this year more than ever, a lot of ranked teams are playing each other. Like, they're not like.
Yeah, they're not high. Like, early on, too. Early on.
I like what I'm seeing as far as the early slate, but Alabama's going to be good. Kansas is going to be good, obviously. UConn is just – I didn't really have high expectations given what they lost, but you want to see how they get better over the course of the year. Still a long season. But Auburn, Alabama, Kansas, those are the teams that, like, I would say have kind of impressed me. I got to watch Tennessee more. I know Tennessee is ranked third in the country. I got to watch them. Iowa State, solid. Wisconsin's been hooping, so it's only December, so we haven't even gotten to conference play yet, but I'm excited to see how these teams develop. But Auburn's a team to watch. But Dylan Harper, I don't know if at the top pick, I don't know. That's a tough one.
Dylan Harper, he's legit. Like, at first I was like, yeah, Cooper Flagg's the number one pick, but now, nah. I don't know. And I'm still a big Cooper Flagg guy, but yeah. Dylan, just watching like how polished he is at this age. Getting to his spots, how crafty he is, and then we know his dad is a great NBA player. You know, he has all the stuff right there from him. He has the size, he has the IQ. I feel like he could be a point and a shooting guard. Like, and he's a lefty, right? He's a lefty, I believe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those guys that are always hard to guard. So yeah, I think it's a bright future for him.
I was watching him take over in that tournament. And he had 36 against Notre Dame and 37 against Bama as a freshman.
Back to back. And those are two. Those are not slouches. Those are not slouch teams. Neither of them.
Those aren't like a sophomore, junior, senior is hard to do that.
Right.
30-point game in a college game?
Yeah, that's hard. Especially when you're playing with another top three pick right with you. Right?
Players aren't like – he had against Notre Dame 36 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. Like – college players aren't dropping 30 like that on a back-to-back game. So right. They're like that. And so it's going to be interesting to see how the year develops. And obviously there's a lot to be determined. But right now, for top pick for me, it's between Flagg and Harper.
Yeah,
I like Ace Bailey, but, man, I just think Flagg and Harper have – there's a little extra to their games that I trust.
It's just – I feel like for him, it's what we've seen already. Ace Bailey, it's more of he's falling into the he might be a KD type of player trap. That's the thing with him.
Yeah.
Which is, it's not his fault because that's how he's built and he's a good shooter, good shot creator. But we've seen that. We've seen that with Michael Porter. We've seen that with numerous players, Brandon Ingram. Like, we've seen that anytime they see a guy 6'9", 6'10", long arms that can dribble and shoot a little. Oh, he has the KD out. And I haven't seen nobody replicate KD yet. You know what I mean? So,
no.
So, but I mean, I still think, I think he's still going to be a good player and he very may well end up being better than him. But just from what I'm seeing so far, I'm feeling Harper. And Flagg, you got to count to the fact that he was just playing with Team USA in the summer, scrimmaging with him. He's only, 17 going on 18 or just turned 18? Like, that's huge, man. So,
that's what I'm saying, man. The Sixers playing around, man. Like, you got Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, and Dylan Harper right there.
You got
McCain and Maxey. I mean, you slot any one of those three guys with McCain and Maxey, and I'm smiling.
Yeah, you got to make a business decision sometime.
Like let's keep it honest. Like, Harper can play with Maxey and McCain. He can play off the ball. He can play on the ball. Cooper Flagg, put him in there defensively. He's going to be a stud from day one. Ace Bailey, he's that wing that you need to play along with Maxey. And McCain, they're all three guys are taller. Like, they offer a versatile skill set. And so, I don't know, man. Don't let OKC get a first rounder. That's all I'm going to say. That is all I'm going to say.
They're going to find somebody.
They always do. They always do. Trey Johnson from Texas, I'm not sure if you've seen him play. He's been
– Yeah.
I like his game.
Oh, what's his name? Derek Queen from Maryland. I mean, it's a lot.
He's interested. Derek Queen is interesting. You look at it. Please YouTube Derek Queen. He's a freshman from Maryland. Interesting game because he's not like super athletic. He's tall, but he's not like a – I don't know. He's just – he doesn't look like he's a basketball star.
He doesn't look the part.
But he's a hooper.
He's a natural. He's one of those naturals. He's just a natural.
And it's intriguing to see, like, I want to see it work, how it works out in the NBA. I think it can because he's so skilled. But it's just so many really good players. And more will be revealed as the season goes on, obviously. And we got conference play and tournament time. So this is a good time for Hoops fans. But like I said, home stretch of the NFL season. You already know what we're talking about. I think we're Packers fans this week, right? They play Detroit.
Yeah. So, no, I knew they played the Vikings. It's one of those teams. They play one of their NFC North opponents.
I thought, yeah, they play the Packers on Packers, okay. Detroit, Packers, Lions Thursday night. So we're trying to get that home field advantage.
That's a Thursday game, okay.
Thursday night game. And so I'm confident in those birds. We're looking good right now. We took care of Baltimore. Now we got our sights set on. We got to keep pace with Minnesota and Detroit. We got to make sure that the road to the championship goes through Philly. I want to see Jared Goff in that cold. I got to see it.
Yeah.
He got to prove it to me. I got to see it. So in Detroit, in that turf, in that dome, okay. But on that outside climate at the link, pressure on the big lights.
Me, honestly, I feel like we could beat them anywhere, man. Because this defense right here. First, we had some questionable opponents. So it's like, all right, we'll see. We just beat a team that was on a historic pace offensively with an electric quarterback and electric running back, right? Mm-hmm. We shut them down. People, I don't want to hear about the Justin Tucker missed field goals because, listen, that's part of their team, and the job of football is to keep the other team out of the end zone because that's what happens when you kick field goals. You might make them, you might miss them, and if you do make them, it's only three. That's the goal, right? And our defense, our linebackers are playing well. Zach Bond and Kobe Dean are holding it down. Our pass rush is getting in there. Our secondary is playing awesome. Like, come on, Quinyon Mitchell, CJ. Cooper DeGene, Isaiah Rodgers, Slay wasn't even out there. Like, you know what I mean? The only person that I'm not feeling right now is Maddox. Like, other than that, man, like, and then we don't got to talk the offense. We don't even have to speak on it. Like, we know it. We know, and that's the thing about us. We got our identity, right? We know Jalen, he can make the play when he needs to, and he hasn't been turning the ball over. The team has its identity. It's all about playing. But at the end of the day, when you can get stops like we can, and you can control the clock like how we can, it's going to be hard to beat us no matter where we play.
We're a physical team. Physical teams are going to win when it comes to playoff time and championships. They're restoring the feeling on defense. Man, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Milton Williams. Man,
they turned it around. Even Nolan Smith, they turned it around. I got to give credit to Vic Fangio because he turned – listen, our, last
I
year
– the defense was looking suspect. I ain't going to lie. I was like, all right, it's a little too soft. Like,
we got off to a good start, but we fell apart because our defense – ended up being solved. Once we played the Niners and we couldn't tackle them, they smacked us right in our mouth. Now we're back. We're putting the pain. We're putting pain in. And, you know, we just got to keep it up, man.
Got them young guys on defense, Quinyon Reed.
Yep, the youth. Cooper
DeJean.
Yep.
We gotta get Devonta healthy because AJ is special, but we got to get Devonta at another dimension. So hopefully he gets healthy. But, man, Saquon – I think it's between him and Josh Allen for MVP.
Yeah, that's what it is right now.
We know we know the quarterback is always going to get the love when it comes to MVP, but come on. Saquon,
he's on pace to break Eric Dickerson's record. If he does it, you got to give it to him.
He changes the dynamic of this team.
We just played the number one rushing defense. They were only giving up 70-something yards per game in the league. The number one rushing defense in the league, and he killed them.
I mean, just give it to a running back.
And he gets better. Like I said, it's going to come down to record. What Josh Allen is doing is impressive. I haven't been a Josh Allen fan because I feel like he turned the ball over too much. But what he's doing this year, he's taking care of the ball and he's balling.
Especially when they lost Stephon Diggs.
And I'm saying they lost some weapons and he's still balling. I got to give him credit. I'm not going to be mad at whoever wins it. But if he breaks Eric Dickerson's record, he does have to win. He got to win it.
It would be a great story, too, you know, leaving the Giants and questions about his health and everything surrounding that. Like, man, this is like a year that I think Saquon has been wanting to show the world that I can not only perform, but perform in games that matter and contribute to winning. Like, I finally have a team that is serious about winning. Because, to be honest, you had Daniel Jones at quarterback in New York. You're not serious about winning.
Right.
So to have a team that's committed to winning – and me being the best, he's the best player on our team. He's the best football player on our team.
Yeah.
To make the argument, he's the best football player in the league.
Yeah.
Right. Like, honestly, right
playing,
now.
Just playing wise, yeah.
Just what he's doing. Name me another guy who's doing what he's like. There's, especially, I mean, at his position, there's nobody. I mean, Derrick Henry's putting up great numbers. But Well, what Saquon is doing is special.
We're talking about a position that has been written off as far as, you know, teams drafting, long-term thinking. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we went out there, we gave them the money, and it's just proof to you that it's all you need is, if you got a special talent at running back, all you need is a good system, good O-line for him. He's going to do the rest. Because we're getting him just enough space to make the moves and make that play we saw against Jaguars when he, you know, jumped backwards and stuff like that. You know, the run against the Rams, the run against the Ravens. We're putting him in the right situation. The thing about him is he gets better as the game goes on. That's rare for running backs. Like, people don't know that. Like, you're supposed to slow down as the game goes on when you keep getting hit. But he, you know what I mean? He keeps going as the game goes on. So
we'll see. Eagles got Panthers, Steelers, Commanders, Cowboys, and Giants to close out the year. So a lot of football left to be played. Excuse me. But like I said, I really want that. I want that one seed. I want these teams to have to play at the link. You got to deal with it. You got to deal with the crowd, the cold, none of that dome stuff that's protect. Nope. You got to deal with the
elements. Real football.
You got to deal with it. You know, come. Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, y'all got to show me. I'm sorry.
Especially Sam Darnold. Like, yeah.
I get it. Like, y'all playing in great offensive systems. You got great weapons. You got to show me, though. I got to see it. Like, show me. Make me a believer. I got to see it. Because right now, I can't do it. I can't do it yet because I've seen too much in the past. I've seen it. But, well, you know, we got plenty of time to talk about the NFL. But thank you guys for watching us. Enjoy these hoops. Enjoy these NFL games, especially if you got a team that's making the playoffs. Definitely enjoy this season. So those who are struggling as fans, I don't know what to tell you.
sorry, better look next year.
Get smarter. look at the front office. I don't know what to say. But thank you guys for watching another show of Marshall Time. Obviously, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Like, subscribe, share with your family and friends. And we'll see y'all next time.
All right, peace out.